The Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus live and in your face today, remembering, reminiscing, and reviewing the classic Iron Maiden album, Number of the Beast. Stick around.
You're listening to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, changing rock history one podcast at a time.
Welcome back, everybody. Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus back at you. Like I said at the top, we are going to be talking about the classic album, Number of the Beast by Iron Maiden. We're going to tell you some interesting facts about the making of the album. I watched the documentary today, the classic albums, Number of the Beast. So I got some fun tidbits to share with you guys on that. Lily, as always, our rock historian in the house, is here with us. Say hi, Lily.
Hi, Lily.
Okay, and we got so she's going to be bringing in some great ideas. We have some great music for you guys too. Let me tell you guys a little bit about what you're going to hear tonight on the show. Let me get my notes in front of me. I don't need to be looking at my own face. We're going to be playing American Bombshell. This is a very cool band. Eulogy, another really cool band. We're going to be playing the band Album. Now, those of you that have been following the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus for a long time know that, like, when Kevin and I were on together, Album was one of our favorite bands. We played them all the time. I didn't even know they were still a thing. I just found out today somebody's like, hey, Album. And I'm like, shit, I love that band. So we're going to do some Album a little bit later on. So it's going to be with some great music for you guys as well tonight. A little bit of business. Our website is LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com. There's tons of cool stuff there, from artist interviews and guitar stuff, you know, podcasts all about guitar things. There's my Rock and Rants, where I pick something that's going on in music and we mix it up. artist interviews, all kind of cool stuff. You can find out about that at LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com. There's also some great merch there, so check it out. We're doing new merch and new t-shirts and stuff all the time. We do have a t-shirt that says Balls Deep Rock and Roll.
I love that.
And then we're doing, what was the one we were doing for the ladies?
Jam Out with Your Clam Out.
Jam Out with the Clam Out. So that's coming soon. So watch out for the Jam Out with the Clam Out. So they're going to be doing all that. So Lily, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us what's going on.
Yo. Lily, as always, Rock Rage Radio. My show's Thursdays, Hot Licks with Lily 6, so catch that if you can. I saw an interesting band yesterday.
Oh, okay.
At Jurgles, I saw Uli John Roth.
Ooh, former Scorpion guy.
Yes, and I'm going to tell you what, I could not take my eyes off of him. He plays guitar like it's completely effortless. Completely effortless, and I loved every second of it. It was a three-hour show. It's and it was at Jurgles, and I stayed the whole time. And was it
instrumental, or did he have a vocalist?
He had a vocalist. I don't think they spoke English, but they sang English very well. They did several different things. It was his triple anniversary tour, but I didn't catch what the triple anniversaries were, unfortunately.
Okay.
Because he was talking sort of fast. But yeah, they had instrumentals and they had songs with lyrics. And it was
those of you that do
beautiful.
Not know, Uli Roth was an original member of the Scorpions, mm-hmm. and a seminal influence on one of my absolute guitar heroes, Yngwie Malmsteen.
Yes.
So... it awesome. Good on you, Lily.
It was I was very disappointed, though, because it was completely dead.
Well,
I know I get it on Monday night, sucks. But tickets were like $11, so
oh,
no excuse.
Man. Did I know you were going to that?
Probably. I usually talk about all
you know what,
things.
Though? My band was rehearsing last night, and we
so
really
wouldn't mattered
trying
anyway.
To get our stuff together, so yeah. It really probably wouldn't have worked out. But
you could go to my Facebook page and look at the live videos I posted. Also, Rock Rage Radio has some live videos I posted.
Oh, damn it, Rock Rage Radio, rockrageradio.com. We both have shows. Lily has her own show on there, Hot Licks with Lily V6. And that is, when are you on?
I'm Thursday night, 6 to 8
and
p.m. Eastern.
The Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus just got bumped to like a way cooler, thank you, John and Gigi, we're so not worthy, time slot at Monday nights at 11. So
it's a great slot.
So like you can, this time you can like go to instead of like having to get right in the car and listen right after church Sundays at noon, you can go with your family now. You don't have to like stop and listen.
This could be your Monday night thing that you do.
This could be your Monday night thing. You can be home Monday night. It's after the weekend. You know you're jonesing, even though it's just the weekend, it's just over. You know you're jonesing for some dope and some booze, and you can like party up. You know nobody will say anything. Okay, no, there's no judgment here. Okay, right? You're non-judgy.
I don't care.
We're not judgy at all. So feel free if you're listening to us right now on a Monday night, you know, smoke them if you got them, pour yourself a shot, because you're about to hear some great rock and roll. And speaking of great rock and roll, we're going to come back, we're going to be talking about Number of the Beast, I promise. But I want to start the show off with some great music for you guys. As I promised, we're going to be playing some bands that we have not played here ever, and we are going to play a couple that we haven't played in a long time. But I want to start the show off with a band that I just discovered. Oh God, you're not okay. Oh, I want to give a before we do that, I want to give a shout out to Wolf's Customs. And you can go to wolfscustoms.online. I'll tell you a little bit more about what they do. Chris Thunderwolf Dodson has been a big supporter of the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus for a really long time. He's a great dude, and we want you guys to go check out his website. It's wolfscustoms.online. This is a band that I just discovered. Thank you, and I will plug you, dude. I'm sorry, David, I can't remember who told me about them today, but I will go ahead and I will give you a shout out in a minute here. But this is a band called American Bombshell. Check them out. Money on the Liquor on the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus.
Looking my ass, I'm talking the turn. Licking my wounds.
fucking bombshell, guys. Money on the Liquor.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And just a great song, a great band. And if you don't, if you, just check them out. Let me give you the website. I keep telling you to check them out, but I need to tell you the friggin' website. It's AmericanBombshell.net.
Easy.
AmericanBombshell.net, N-E-T. So check them all. Check them all out, y'all. All y'all. All y'all. Yeah, check those guys out. I think that they are, I think it's very cool. I, in celebration of today's show, you guys want to hear the band Synergy doing a little wee bit of Number of the Beast?
I do.
So.
Ooh, already. Already.
I left alone. My mind was blank. I needed time to gather memories from my mind. What did I see? Can I believe that what I saw that night was real and not just fantasy? Just what I saw in my old dreams. Were they reflections of my world?
Okay, and that is the band Synergy doing a cover of Number of the Beast.
Nice, I like it.
I think it's freaking killer. I got a handful of covers of these songs. Can't play the originals again. We will get blocked. In fact, that might get the volume turned down. We don't really know what's going to do it and what's not going to do it. Anyhow, so, Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus, and we are talking about the Number of the Beast, Number of the Beast by Iron Maiden. And this is what? The thing that is most famous about this album is the introduction of who?
Oh, Bruce Dickinson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Paul Di'Anno? Dono?
Yeah, I don't even know.
Yeah.
Because I didn't care.
He's on the first.
Oh, Paul Di'Anno, yeah.
Yeah, he was the original singer for Iron Maiden on the first two albums. And those are cool records. It's a different vibe. Iron Maiden, Samson, and a couple other bands were like all hung out together, and Bruce's band was Samson.
Mm-hmm.
And he would go. They would go. They would like, you know, like the bands do today. They, you know, everybody plays a Smiling Moose. You know,
yes.
Y'all
kind of just hang out together.
And
you know, each
together.
Other.
And Bruce was like, he says, I would listen to these guys. These guys play and go like, man, if I could get into that band, the things we could really do.
And lo and behold,
yeah, and the situation with Paul, you know, became stressful, and they had to make a change, and it.
And there it was.
And boom goes the dynamite.
And boom goes the dynamite. Yeah, in fact, Bruce never got any credits on this album because of using stuff from Samson, I thought, is what I read.
Really?
Yeah.
I do know that some of the songs were. A couple of the songs were tracks that they had other members had written that had been lying around for a little while. What's the track list? Do you have the track
list?
Yes,
I do. Have the track list. Invaders, Children of the Damned, The Prisoner, 22 Acacia Avenue, The Number of the Beast, Run to the Hills, Gangland, and Hallowed Be Thy Name.
Which one do you want to talk about first?
I mean,
Do you want to kind of talk about the album overall first for a little bit?
We can.
What do you want to talk about? You jump in.
I can talk about the album first.
Go ahead. Jump in with that. That sounds good.
Okay. So, first of all, it is one of the most amazing albums out there for metal. They sold 14 million copies worldwide. It is the third studio album by Iron Maiden, released in 1982, so I was a couple months old. It was, like we said, it was the first release to feature Bruce Dickinson and the last with drummer Clive Burr. Unfortunately, it was the first album to reach number one, and it was, of course, controversial in the U.S. due to the religious references and the artwork, and of course, the title track being the Number of the Beast and all. And Dickinson was heavily involved in writing the songs, including "Children of the Damned," "The Prisoner," and "Run to the Hills." And funny thing I did read about this, there's many superstitions that came with this album during the recording at Battery Studios. You know, like things like lights turning off, recording gear not working. But Birch, was involved in a car accident with a minibus of nuns.
Okay, no, I was going to talk about this, but go ahead, yeah.
He was presented a bill for 666 pounds.
Yeah, yeah, he took his Range Rover in to get it repaired. When it came back, the bill was 666 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
That's... this Twilight Zone theme. Can you dig that? Doo-doo-doo. Jerry Johnson, Bob Piercy, Brady Novotny. Brady is an amazing musician.
I have to look into him
as well. So Lynn Luciana, yeah, it's good to see you, Lynn. I haven't talked to you in a while. So hey guys, welcome everybody for hanging out with us tonight. Please share the podcast. We play a lot of indie bands and things like that, and this helps bring attention to them as well. We are discussing the impact and the amazingness that is Iron Maiden's Number of the Beast, the first album to feature the incomparable, the vocalist that nobody can touch, the guy who is in a class all by himself, Mr. Bruce Dickinson, one of my absolute heroes.
He's amazing.
And those of you think he sounds operatic, you wouldn't know what opera was if it bit you on the fucking balls.
On the balls. That's balls right. Deep.
So, do you want to go?
I sort of went in order with albums, just getting a little
yeah, bit go ahead.
Of trivia
yeah, put
for
it
each
in context.
One.
Go ahead. Okay.
So, Invaders is the first song on the album. Now, I just have sort of like information about each song. Musically, that's more Lou's department, but all Iron Maiden songs are like basically stories being told. They're all epic. They're all, you know, very beautifully lyrically written. But Invaders is a song about a Norse conquest over England. I think it's one of the most underrated songs on the album. I think it's a good beginner song for the album. It's fast-paced. Harris, though, stated that it wasn't a good enough song for opening the album. It's not that strong, but I still think it's great. I think it's a great opening song because it sort of sets the pace.
But it does open the album.
It does, absolutely.
It's not good enough, but we're going to use it.
They used it anyway. They said they didn't have anything else at the time to open that they thought was good to set the pace. So this sort of sets the pace for the entire album, and I think it's great. So, oh, hi, Jerry.
Do you guys, do you want to tell, what's next?
Children of the Damned is next.
And this was this is a horror film, correct?
Yeah, it's based on the films Village of the Damned and Children of the Damned.
Okay. And I heard Steve Harris talking about this today, and he's like, you know, it's based on that stuff as much as any of our other stuff is based on anything, you know, loosely. You
right.
Know, it isn't like, you
it's
know.
It's just sort of like an outline.
Beat for beat, you know, the story. It's, you know, they're doing their own thing with it. But yeah, go ahead.
Well, Dickinson said it was inspired by Black Sabbath's Children of the Sea. So that's his side of it. And it was written by Steve Harris. Not my favorite song. A lot of people like it. I could skip that one. I mean, I don't often skip an Iron Maiden song, but I can skip it. It's not as it doesn't catch my
I like it because it's a ballad that's not doesn't stay a ballad.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of progressive. And speaking of that song.
Oh, you have one?
Here's a band called 22 Acacia Avenue covering it.
That's crazy. Oh, man, I love that when they do that.
That is a band doing a cover of the band called 22 Acacia Avenue, which is an Iron Maiden song.
Which is on this album.
We're going to talk about here in a minute. but that is a cover of it, of Children of the Damned by that band. Just absolutely.
That
Chaos
like
Heidi
female.
Kinson. Yeah, Chaos Heidi Kinson is the vocalist on that. Bruce is tough to cover, and hence Very often, if you have a female singer in the band, she ends up being the one to sing the Iron Maiden songs.
She can hit those notes.
Yeah, because some of that can be a little rough to cover. Jerry and I want to do an Iron Maiden song in Mr. Gasket, but Timmy won't have it. So. He's like, no, I'm playing Iron Maiden.
Oh, my goodness. So, we'll have to smack him.
Yeah, I know. He's a sweet guy. I love Timmy. So, Timmy!
Wow.
I
don't watch that show.
You didn't watch South Park?
Nope.
What?
I hate South Park.
Why? It's terribly irreverent and disgusting.
Exactly.
But you like irreverent.
Yeah, but it just bores me.
These kids today, guys.
Oh, please.
You know, what are you gonna do? What are we going to do with these kids?
I watched the movie.
So, what's next on the list?
The Prisoner.
Okay, you want to talk about this one? This has an interesting story.
It's inspired by the British TV show The Prisoner.
Mm-hmm.
And it also has dialogue from the title sequence of the show in the song. It's all I could find as far as information on it. I like it. Think it's another underrated song on the album because everybody goes straight to the title track.
Here's what I found out about The Prisoner today, and I cannot remember the guy. I apologize. I forget the guy's name. The actor from The Prisoner.
Oh, is it someone famous?
He was famous in 19... whatever. Sorry.
19 whatever.
But they called him up. They wanted to use that opening. You know, I'm not just a number and this whole thing. And so they got their manager to call a guy. It was either a manager or producer to call a guy on the phone, you know, to ask him. And they were all like huddled around, like listening, like hoping that they would do it. And I guess the guy was really their manager was like really nervous. And he totally misquoted the whole thing. And they're all like, you moron, he's going to tell you to go piss off because you said the whole thing wrong. But they told him, he said, yeah, go ahead and do it. So they got Patrick. I think it was Patrick McGugan. That was the guy that they were trying to get on the phone. They were really nervous about it, and he says, "What's the name of the band again?" And
yeah, I know this. And then they're like, "Oh, it's a metal band." Yeah.
So he didn't know who Iron Maiden was, and their manager was like, "You morons! He's like, this guy's like 10 times more famous than you are. He's like a real star." So, yeah, they wanted to use that. And that's the thing about their music. It's always, like you said, it's always kind of cinematic. It's always based on some story or some idea that's very epic.
Yes.
Right, epic. Like, yeah, exactly. I think when I think of Iron Maiden, to me, this is very similar. To me, what they are a logical progression from Black Sabbath, like, what, 10, 12 years or so before. Like, they took the same kind of concept and just, you know, made it more modern for the time. And nobody has done, very few artists have been able to do
something
that
like this,
really,
yeah.
really well. You know, a lot of artists do stuff like this, but in terms of taking that next step from Sabbath and like saying, you know, I don't know if it's like it was a conscious thing. I think they just are passionate about what they do. Mm-hmm. I don't think that they, you know, were like saying, like trying to capitalize on anything. I think that they just took that concept and like turned it up to 11, like took it to the whole next level with, you know, more complex songs. Sabbath, most of Sabbath stuff is more in the sort of if Sabbath came out today, they'd be considered like stoner rock or doom or something like that. And these guys brought like more like speed and you know, that type of energy to it.
It paints a beautiful picture.
Yeah. And they were really able to like really do that really, really well in a way that really resonated with people. And it's also time and space. You know, you got to think about what was going on. And we're going to talk about this after we take a break. We're going to come back and talk a little bit about, we're going to put the album in context of like what else was going on in music and in hard rock at that time. So we're going to come back and talk about that in a minute. You want to hit anything else before we go to break?
We can go to break first.
Okay. We're going to play another band. It's band time. This is a local band called Eulogy. You'll Die Alone. You know, I know it's a little depressive, but it's a great song. Check it out. You'll Die Alone by Eulogy on the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus.
Mm-hmm.
Die Alone by Eulogy, everybody. And Lily V6, despite what she says, her microphone is on.
It is now.
It is now. So, 1982 was the release of Number of the Beast.
Number of the Beast.
But we were kind of, we pulled this up on the internet where you pick like a, you know, things that happened in history. So here's a couple of some interesting stuff that was going on. We'll just talk about the sort of pop culture stuff, you know, we don't get too political or anything. But here are the movies. Here were the big films of 1982. So just to put this album in time and space. E.T., Rocky III.
Oh, gosh.
On Golden Pond. Porky's. Yeah. An Officer and a Gentleman. The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, which is the greatest Star Trek movie of all time. I will fight anybody.
Fight me, because I think all of them are dumb.
They're amazing. Poltergeist. Spielberg. Annie.
Yeah.
Little Anal Annie. Chariots of Fire, which was also really big. And the movie Gandhi.
Which is like 17 hours long.
17 and like a half, I think. Popular musicians and bands and whatnot at the time. Human League with Don't You Want Me, Baby. Bucks Fizz, The Jam. Paul McCartney, Stevie Wonder had a hit with Ebony and Ivory. Oh,
God.
Olivia Newton-John, Let's Get Physical. Or maybe, was it Physical? Or was it, that was probably Physical.
I think Physical at that time.
I think that was the song. Steve Miller Band. As they say in Pittsburgh, Steve Miller. Abra, abracadabra. The Eye of the Tiger. And you are going to see Survivor soon?
Yes, in New York.
In New York. Well, that would make sense because Rocky III came out. That was the theme song to Rocky III, Eye of the Tiger.
So there you go. So that's why it was popular.
Bob's Your Uncle, Boom Goes the Dynamite. Chicago had a hit with Hard to Say, I'm Sorry, and Lionel Richie.
All the
like,
things.
Yeah, he had like tons of hit songs that year. So these were the pop bands. So you figure something like Number of the Beast comes out.
And this is what it's up against.
And people who are looking for something edgy and like in your face, I mean, they're totally, that Iron Maiden is totally going to satisfy that
the metal
right
person.
Yeah, absolutely. Popular TV programs, let's run these, are just a short, this is interesting. Magnum PI, we won't, that's the UK,
we don't know anything about that.
Okay. Dynasty at Falcon Crest, Hill Street Blues, and Knight Rider,
which everybody loves. How can you
David
not love?
Frickin' Hasselhoff.
And a talking car.
Don't hassle the Hoff.
Oh my God.
Don't hassle the Hoff.
Amazing.
And born in that year was Leanne Rimes and Kelly Clarkson. So that's a little bit about the Vietnam Memorial was dedicated that year.
Thriller
was huge. That was the giant that Michael Jackson released Thriller that year. Graceland, the home of Elvis, opens to the public that year. So that's 1982... Cool. Is you just think, oh, what was 19? I didn't know. All kind of stuff happened. And so did arguably one of the greatest metal albums of all time. Because it's for so many reasons. First of all, it's a great album. But it's the album that really, I mean, even though Bruce Dickinson was in Samson and they were in a movie. Oh, crap. We got to look that up on the next break. Samson's in a movie. And he,
really?
Yeah. They're like the band in the bar. In some, I can't remember what it was. I've seen it before.
Lance, if you know that, chime in. I saw you're watching.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that later. But really, this is really introducing the world to Iron Maiden. Do you know that the album was late being released, and they were trying to get something out, but people ended up buying the album because they were playing the songs live.
They
popular. But what they did do, because they wanted to get something out, was they released Run to the Hills, which, you want to talk about Run to the Hills?
Yeah, I have it on here. That was actually released in February of 82. The album didn't come out until a month later, 2 weeks before their UK tour. That was one of the most popular songs on the album. It had critical and commercial acclaim all over, and it ended up being their first top 10 hit in the UK. also one of my very favorite songs. I just love everything throughout it. It's about Native Americans and the white man, you know.
The white man.
Clashing. But I love how it starts. I love how the middle. I love the end. Yeah, the beginning. Just, oh my gosh. I love this. It's so powerful.
This is not Iron Maiden. This is a cover of it. This is from pandajamproductions.co.uk.
What's cool about this song is that it comes from the perspective of both the Native Americans and the white man. So it's like two different people talking, basically. It's oh, God, it's so powerful. I love it.
You know, you could, when it comes to, you know, Iron Maiden and Black Sabbath and stuff like that, you could read social commentary into the subtext of a lot of that stuff. But this is the only song by them, well, that's famous, that kind of has sort of like right out there kind of like a little bit of a social commentary to it. Although most people were like, yeah, that's cool, let's rock. You know, nobody was like, nobody was really thinking of them
nobody
as like a
cares.
Political band. And I don't think they were even thinking of themselves. I heard Steve Harris talking about this today, and somebody asked him, you know, so Run to the Hills, that's your political song. He's like, no, not really.
We just wrote songs.
We just wrote songs, and it just seemed like a cool thing for a song. And we liked the idea of Run to the Hills, and with that galloping thing, it just made total sense.
This is a song that makes me drive fast.
I agree. It makes me drive fast too, as well. Great
left foot on that.
Yeah, great tune. Cool video.
Yes.
Fun video. Really fun video. If you've never seen it, you guys should you should definitely check out "Run to the Hills" by Iron Maiden. But you got anything else on this? Or you want to go to another song?
We can go to another song.
Go ahead.
Well, we skipped 22 Acacia Avenue, written by Adrian Smith. Actually, during his old band, Urchin.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to get to earlier. I was brain farting.
Okay. Your brain just broke.
Yeah, yeah.
But Steve Harris recalls hearing it at an Urchin concert years before, but they just modified it for The Number of the Beast, and so there it is.
Do you know what it's about?
I do not know what it's about.
I believe it's about Charlotte the Harlot.
Oh, sure.
22 Acacia Avenue was, and this, they're very cagey when they talk about this. They don't want to say that this was literally this young lady's address. But they, when it's like when he's like, it's when it's like, we will neither confirm nor deny.
Just use your imagination.
Disavow all knowledge. but that's what it's about. It's about a hooker.
Hey, whatever.
That the boys, you know, fancied. That the lads fancied. But this, I mean, they come to America on this tour. You know, I heard Bruce talking about this today. Yeah, Bruce. We're on a first name basis. Mr. Dickinson. Talking about this today. And he was saying that they played some crazy lineup. You mentioned Loverboy earlier. You were talking to Billy Altman about Loverboy.
Yes, because I went to see them on Friday.
And check this out. Check out this lineup.
I'm ready.
Check out this lineup.
I'm ready.
Loverboy, Journey, Ted Nugent, and Iron Maiden.
Wow, that's fun. That's different.
And he was like, people were either going to like us or not. And that's just, you know. And they started out driving around America in like three station wagons. Because their manager was like trying to just really be very, very frugal. But eventually they were doing well enough that they did get a tour bus. And he said that's when all the shenanigans started. He said, we were British lads here, all about 24 years old. And he said in England, like, he says, like, you've got to, like, take, at that time, you had to, like, take a girl out for, like, you know, and do all kinds of other for, like, about a month before you got any, you know.
Well.
Nookies. He says, wow. Girls in America were like, let's screw. You play guitar? You've got a British accent? Let's do it.
Well, let's not get excited. However, I did find the movie. Thank you, Lance. The movie was The Incubus, 1981, with Samson in it.
Yeah. I knew that it was it's really interesting. It's kind of funny. Because, I mean, he's really doing his, you know, he's really kind of like hamming it up, you know, in this scene. But if you guys get a chance to
I'll have to like look it
check
up.
Check it out. We could sure it's on YouTube. You can y'all can find that there Iron Maiden out there somewhere. Golly. Wow. So what else you got, girl?
Well, we skipped also the Number of the Beast, which is the
title
track. Like we said before, religious groups didn't like it. And they thought it was a satanic band. But the song was actually inspired by a nightmare that Steve Harris had, triggered by watching the film Damien, The Omen 2, one night. The track opens with a spoken introduction from the Book of Revelation, 12:12 to be exact. So, no, they're not a satanic band, people. Just stop yourselves.
Well, they thought, like, I mean, again, it was not... I think it's the Black Sabbath thing. It's the,
right.
Let's find the darker side. Let's kind of like talk about that. Let's do music about that. You know, and it fits perfectly
The
type of music they want to play. I mean, you know, they didn't really do like love songs. You know, they weren't like, you know, that just wasn't what they were going to do.
They shouldn't.
That's just not what this music, you know, you have to have the lyrics and the music got to kind of go together. You can't, you know. Or else you just come off as, it just comes off completely silly.
You're so funny.
But it took many, many takes.
Yes.
That intro, those first four lines, their producer, Martin.
He has three names.
Yeah, his name's
four names.
Martin. Martin Birch. Who also worked, I believe, worked with Judas Priest and some other metal bands. They wanted to work with Martin from the beginning, but they thought, oh, he's too famous, like he won't want to work with us. And it just came through the grapevine, you know, that he found out that they wanted to work with him, and they found out that he wanted to work with them, and so they came together on this album. But he was notorious for making them do it over and over and over, and part of the reason he did that was to push them, to get them like kind of angry. Because he felt like he would get a better performance if he could get them kind of like frustrated.
Riled up.
Mm-hmm. And I forget, he said that, I believe it was 4 hours.
Holy crap.
Recording that.
No thanks.
I was alone. You know, that.
That very beginning.
Yeah, that very beginning was like, he said it was about 4 hours. And that scream when the ba-da-da-da comes, Bruce says that was literally his frustration. He said he was throwing chairs. He was like completely
my kind of guy,
pissed about what was going on there. But it came out for, and so they worked with him for a few albums because he was able to kind of like really bring out the great emotion. That's what a producer should be able to do for you. You know, to kind of take what you're doing and really take it to like to the next level. But that is a great song. I think another thing I really like about this song, The Prisoner, Children of the, what is it again?
Damned.
Children of the Damned. I love the melodicism of it. I mean, there's some very beautiful melodic things that are going like a backdrop against this like powerhouse heavy metal band. I think that is really kind of, I think it's one of the things that really sets Iron Maiden apart. I mean, there's a lot of great metal bands out there, but you run the risk if it's too pretty, you run a kind of risk of kind of being put into kind of a different category. But they somehow,
they made it work.
The band is so vicious that like they were never really in risk of like that happening to them. You know, just the way that they, with the energy that they brought to that type of stuff. Do you want to talk about them being classified as the new wave?
I mean, you can. Like the new wave of British heavy metal?
Yeah, the new wave. What it was, there was a magazine at the time in Britain, and this magazine, you know, like similar, to, an analog to today would be how me, I will admit it, will give a podcast a kind of salacious name to get you to listen to it, or a YouTube video, a kind of like, you know, something to go like, oh, what the hell is he talking about? So you got to watch it, you know, kind of thing. So they brought these words together, new wave and British metal, to kind of piss people off.
Yeah, because it sounds
like How can you have new wave and metal? That's like, you know, those are two things that are diametrically opposed to each other. So this magazine called Sounds would, you know, ran a cover story, the new wave of British metal, and it got people pissed, like, oh, what the hell is this supposed to be? So people bought the magazine. They were just trying to, like...
So weren't they, like, the start of that then?
And so they named Iron Maiden and several of these other bands of that era as this new wave of British metal. So that's how... It was just a name that they came up with.
Just to cause
just to get people... And it actually worked in Iron Maiden's favor because it got them noticed. So it's just a kind of an interesting little sort of tidbit.
Beautiful.
There.
I like
it. What else you want to talk about? What else you got there, girl?
We got two songs.
Hit them up.
To talk about. So Gangland, it's about a guy running from the mob who now has a family and he's paranoid they'll come for him. And people describe this as a little jazzier. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, but that's why people don't love it, because it sounds jazzy.
Jazzy made.
I don't think it sounds jazzy.
Jazzy made.
And there we go. I gave him a word.
Jazzy, yes. People at that time were doing jazzercise, I'm pretty sure, but go ahead.
Oh, God. And the last one on the album is Hallowed Be Thy Name. It's actually remained in all but two of the band's set lists. Since they still play it quite often. It's the most celebrated of the band's extended epics. It's a tale of a prisoner about to be hanged. And several members of the band say that this is their favorite song. And Dickinson describes it as narrating a movie to the audience, which I feel that's how all of their songs are. But this is the one he actually feels is like that. And I think it's a great ending to the album as well.
Like all of Iron Maiden's album artwork during the 80s and 90s, it was painted by Derek Riggs. The cover was originally created for the song Purgatory, but Ron Smallwood deemed it too high a caliber for a single release and decided to save it for the whole album, Number of the Beast. The original 1982 artwork includes a blue sky in the background. This was a mistake by the printers of the album art and was later rectified and became black when the album was remastered for compact discs.
Inspired by Doctor Strange.
Cool. The album was also the center of controversy, particularly in the United States, due to the lyrics of the title track, cover art, Eddie. Also, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, that the tour for this was the debut of the giant Eddie.
I believe so.
I believe that that was the thing. And it became kind of
part
synonymous.
Of their show.
One of the reasons why they like Eddie, and all of them are big fans of Eddie's, they're like, we can kind of remain somewhat anonymous. And it's kind of brilliant because it doesn't really matter. Like, it's, in other words, the music, Eddie and all that is like bigger than the individual members of the band. Mm-hmm. So even if they get a little older or, you know, fat or whatever.
They just see Eddie. People just see
people,
Eddie.
People see Eddie. Eddie is the kind of like face of the band. Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool. Very, you know, I mean, that was one of the things I always said about, I thought was cool about Kiss was like, you know, as long as they didn't get too fat, they could go on for a very, very long time because the makeup and it really kind of like hides like what they're, you know, any kind of aging or anything like that. A little bit of makeup, a little hair dye, you know, you don't know the difference. the cover art depicting Eddie controlling Satan. So that's what's interesting. And this idea is like, who's controlling who? There's there's a little more depth to this, I think, than some people realize. While Satan is also controlling a smaller Eddie, Small explains that the concept was to ask, who's really the evil one here? Mm-hmm. Who's manipulating who? According to Riggs, this was inspired by a Doctor Strange comic book, which had some big villain with Doctor Strange dangling on some strings like a puppet. It was something I read as a child back in the 1960s. While the images of hell were taken from my knowledge of medieval European Christian art, which was full of those types of scenes. The album's cover art was parodied several times by different bands, the Stormtroopers of Death. And I mean, but that just goes to show how great it is. When somebody starts to parody you, that means
then
that
you know
like,
you've made it.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good way of putting it. And the album was strongly opposed by social conservatives, like as Lily was saying earlier. This was an era. Now, this is because you're very young. You probably don't remember this, but there was a whole time And this is just goes to show you, like, you know, today with every, with all these, you know, social justice warriors out there, everybody up in arms about this and that. There was a time when the biggest, not the biggest, but one of the big problems was rock music. Mm-hmm. What are we going to do with this rock music? Oh, my God. Oh, my
it's
God.
It's the devil.
It's the devil. Okay. And there were people burning albums and smashing albums. And I remember I went to a, I was evangelical Christian, and I was, went to a Christian school, and remember, like, when this record came out, oh, my God, like, all the teachers, our principal, all the pastors, they lost their minds.
I went to Catholic school.
They like, just went, their, like, heads exploded. I was like, yes!
My parents were cool about it, though. They let me have whatever
well,
I wanted.
Well, your parents were cool, but...
But not the school.
No. So, I didn't really hear a lot of Iron Maiden because, again, you're too young to remember... The rock station, the big rock station here in Pittsburgh, did not play them. You had to, one night a week at midnight, they had the metal shop.
You told me about this, but
and
I don't
And they
know,
would
obviously.
Play Steeler and a little, and some Maiden and some Priest. And that you had, that, I mean, that was it, and it didn't even run that long. I didn't have cable, so I never saw, I didn't really see MTV till I went, like, went to college. So, they were a band that, like, I would hear here and there and go, like, oh, I thought it was really cool, but I never really, I couldn't latch onto until the digital age when YouTube and all the digital stuff allowed you to kind of just check it out right away. And they have a Behind the Music. If you haven't seen it, it's freaking awesome. And when I went from really liking them to absolutely falling in love with them, wishing I could be them when I saw their Behind the Music, because I was just completely floored by what a great band they are and what cool guys they are. And Steve Harris, the bass player, it's like kind of his band.
Yeah, he's the like ringleader.
It. Yeah, he's the kind of the ringleader. He does a lot of the songwriting, the lyrics. And he's an amazing bass player. He's mm-hmm. he's always on those lists of, like, great bass players.
Yep, absolutely.
And always love the band. We are going to play something else here, and we're going to come back and wrap up the show. Guys, you've been listening to Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus. We're going to come back and maybe just kind of BS with you guys for a few minutes before we wrap up. But this is the band Album, Heavy Mellow, on the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus. We'll be right back. album, Heavy Mellow, on the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus. Let me go ahead and tell you how to find album. I love album. It's one of my favorite bands. They're from Ohio. You want to go to albumtheband.com. We had Eulogy, which has a very complicated website. I told them today, I'm like, you guys need a better look at that. Like, who can do that?
What is that?
I would just go to just search Eulogy Band, and it's probably a better way to find it. And then we had we opened the show with American Bombshell, AmericanBombshell.net. All great bands. So let's give our shout outs. First of all, I want to the post we did today. I want to give a shout out to all y'all that chimed in. R.L. Johnston, Kevin Foster Wilicki, Eric Roger, Billy Altman, Keith the Hawk Hawkins, Jeff Lantry, David Ray, Fran Crasher,
Chris Pulowski,
Brady Novotny, John Fox, Jeff Gardner, Fletch Drums, Chris Thunderwolf Dodson, you guys rock! So thank you for chiming in and replying to that. I told you guys to give you all a shout out. And what do you got? You want a shout out to the folks who are watching tonight?
Again, on the live feed, we've got Chris Thunderwolf, Jeff Kula, Stanley Leonard Clayton, Lori Pentland, Tony Leon from Silk Nine, Mickey Hernandez, Danny Polyard, Anthony Lamond, Tim Doverspike, Jerry Johnson, Bob Mersing, Sean Davies, Bob Piercy. Oh my gosh, so many people tonight. Sean Donahue, Billy Altman.
Go to bed, Billy. No, stay up, Billy.
Fletch Trumps, Scott Boyd, Lance Rickey, John Fox. And if I miss anybody, I'm just Eric Wong.
Eric, what's up? I haven't talked to you in a while, brother.
Todd Kane.
Eric's a very good singer.
From Kansas City, Missouri is watching. And Eric Anthony.
Eric! Eric sent me text. He's got a new phone number. I won't give it out, Eric, I promise. good to talk to you, brother. Shout out to our sponsor for tonight. That was Wolf's Customs, Wolf's Customs Online. Several years of experience with refinishing and always researching new design techniques for his clientele. There's always a new project in the works. Be sure to check it out. Our featured design page for sneak peeks at the process with finished work always up for sale and further customization. We're always planning and testing new designs for guitars in our home studio. Come check out our examples and think of us when you are ready for your custom design. You're going to go to Wolf's Customs .online. And Chris has been a supporter of the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus probably since it started. So thank you very much, brother. All right, guys, you've been listening to Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus. Our website is LudiniRockandRollCircus.com. And we are going to be partying here in a minute over on our private party area. And you can find out about that. Go to LouLombardiRocks.com. We don't even need your email address. You can just jump right in. LouLombardiRocks.com. Check it out. Lily, anything you want to plug? Anything you want to talk about before we get the hell out of here?
Again, Hot Licks with Lily Six, my show Thursday nights at 6 p.m. Eastern. Rock Rage Radio. You can go to the website or download the free app. I am selling tickets for Glenn Sobel's Goon Squad, the Alice Cooper pre-show, July 18th at the Sub Alpine Society for $22 each. So message me if you want to do that. Also, I will be live tomorrow for Adelita's Way, Thursday for Combi Christ, both at the Craft House. And I am going to see Reign of Z at the X studio thing that we did for Gene the Werewolf. So I will see them tomorrow at the X studio. Takeover.
All right, guys. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. It's LudiniRockandRollCircus.com is the website. A big shout out and a big thank you to our great, great supporters at Rock Rage Radio. We are truly grateful and truly blessed to have been able to joint venture with you folks. And that is RockRageRadio.com. I know I'm getting thrown a lot of websites at y'all. RockRageRadio.com. This is where you can listen to great guitar-driven rock like 24/7. Just download the app. Check it out. And you can find us the complete show, all done, all purdied up with all the music right in place, exactly. So it's all mixed and mastered together. And you can find that 11 p.m. on Monday nights on Rock Rage Radio, the app, rockrageradio.com. Guys, thank you so much for hanging out. We're going to wrap up with Lou Lombardi's Strange Love. If you can find the reason, I will find the answer on the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus.
lost your car. A deal in the headlights dead. Hell and glass were everywhere. So you cry your ass from your lazy boy. Your bottle you were drinking's gone. She ain't got no pants on. Well, she kisses your lips, but then she slaps.